Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Parents aren't going to like to hear this, but teenagers are having sex. There are somewhere between 7,000 to 9,000 unwanted pregnancies in New York. People want to be anti-abortion. If you're anti-abortion, you should be anti-pregnancy. So you may give parents the wiggies, but the reality is it's smart public
health. Without the parents' consent.
The reality is most 13, 14, and 15-year-olds are not having these conversations with the parents.
All right.
Get real.
That's Nancy Snyderman speaking on to the Today Show this morning about 13 New York City high schools that are making Plan B, the morning after pill, available to high school girls. What in the world is going on? I mean, even someone like Matt Lauer, who's rather even-minded on these things, who tries not to jump into the fray, says without parents' permission, yes. Without parents' permission. And that seems to be the message in New York is parents, your girls are going to get pregnant. We want to stop them with what is an abortifacient and get used to it. Joining us to talk about this and several other issues, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you? This is really appalling, this New York City deal, huh?
Yes, and what do you find particularly appalling about it?
Well, where does one begin with the appalling story here? I mean, first of all, yes, there's the whole thing that you cannot give a child an aspirin or an Advil at school without parental permission, and yet they're going to give minors a very, very powerful hormonal cocktail without telling their parents. A hormonal cocktail that, you know, it's not harmless, right? I mean, there are risks associated with this type of medication. And then the even more appalling is the assumption that making emergency contraception so-called available is going to somehow reduce unintended pregnancies or reduce pregnancy, reduce abortion. And I'm sitting here looking at a fact sheet that was produced by one of the researchers at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Now, before all you Lutherans dismiss this as Catholic propaganda, you know, I just want you to understand this is footnoted up the wazoo here. And I just, the people just need to understand that even a lot of the people on the pro-contraception side admit that emergency contraception does not necessarily reduce unintended pregnancy and abortion. It's actually been studied, Todd. And what happens is either people don't having so-called access to these medications, either does not people don't use it fast enough, they don't use it often enough, or people have more thoughtless sexual activity. They have a larger number of incidents that have to be corrected because they're having more sex because they feel safe. So overall, what seems like a free and easy conclusion that more contraception reduces abortion, more emergency contraception reduces abortion, that turns out not to be factually correct. And as soon as I get off the phone here with you, I'm going to paste this on the Ruth Institute Facebook page so people can find this link and see for themselves the research that has been produced on this topic. It's really, the idea that people are promoting this as a public health no-brainer is just, to me, a no-brainer. It's for people without brains. You know, it doesn't work the way they say it's supposed to work.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. When we come back, we'll have a few more minutes with her talking about Plan B being made available to students at 13 New York City high schools. We'll also talk about the cancellation. Seems like a little story, but she says it's actually much bigger. It reflects a general attitude among the lifestyle left. It's a cancellation of a father-daughter dance because of gender stereotyping. In fact, some from the ACLU say it is against federal law to have a dance like this because it involves gender stereotyping, and a California bill that will allow children to have three parents. All that ahead with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 25th. Then we'll be joined by Pastor Tom Baker. We'll talk about the fall of Jericho. Stay tuned.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How would you like to win a 4-CD set of 45 Reformation hymns? It's titled Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church. Now here is how you enter this contest. First, like the Facebook fan page for Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World. Facebook.com/Lutheran Public Radio. Second, post an invitation for your Facebook friends to listen to Lutheran Public Radio. And third, send the text of your Facebook post and the number of your Facebook friends to contest@issuesetc.org. We'll give away this 4-CD set, Heirs of the Reformation, to the contestant with the best Facebook post and to the contestant with the most number of Facebook friends. We'll announce the winner on Monday, October the 1st. Participate in a Facebook contest for Lutheran Public Radio during the month of September.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute is our guest. We're talking about Plan B, available to students at 13 New York high schools. And we'll go on to several other subjects, including the cancellation of a father-daughter dance because of gender stereotyping and a California bill that would allow children to have three parents. That's a nice, odd number for parents, one might say. Dr. Morse, let's talk a little bit about this is New York. This is only 13 high schools. Some people are saying, look, New York has a problem with these unwanted pregnancies, and the general attitude is, you know, if you're against this, and this was reflected in the comments made by Nancy Snyderman, if you're against abortion, you need to be against pregnancy, therefore for any means of preventing pregnancy. What do you make of that logic?
Well, you know, if you're against abortion, you need to be against pregnancy. Well, no, that's not exactly right. You need to be against pregnancy in circumstances that will not support a pregnancy. I mean, you know, when Mrs. Schwartz has a baby, as Jeff's wife recently had a baby, Mrs. Morse has a baby, Mrs. Wilkin has a baby, we're not against pregnancy. We shouldn't be against pregnancy. You shouldn't be thinking that connection, that is just a wrong-headed way of thinking. There's so much wrong with this mentality, I can't even tell you. But the point is that the behavior that we're talking about is having sex in a context that will not sustain a pregnancy. That's the thing that you need to be opposed to. No contraception works perfectly. Emergency contraception doesn't work perfectly. People don't use it consistently. A lot of people who have these babies in these situations, these 13, 14, 15-year-old girls having babies, you know, Todd, some of them do it because they want to. They want the baby. In their immature way of thinking, the baby is a good thing because the baby will love them. So there's no drug that's going to change that mentality or that desire, that longing of the heart. You know, in fact, the drug is in the way. The idea that we solve a problem like that by giving out that drugs or some kind of medication or some kind of technological fix, that's just completely wrong-headed all the way around. And so, like I said before the break, there have been studies of this matter that have shown that, in fact, greater access to emergency contraception, defined in a whole variety of ways, there are a number of different ways they've studied, you know, greater access to emergency contraception. It doesn't, in fact, reduce the abortion rate. It doesn't, in fact, reduce the unwanted pregnancies, because people have to still use it. They still have to make the decision that they're going to use it and that they're going to use it properly and so on and so forth. And so it's just, it's a myth. And the idea that they would do this without even talking to the parents, it seems to me that if you wanted to reduce teen sexual activity, involving the parents should be the very first thing that you should do. What if they had a policy that said, if you come in here and you tell us you're pregnant, no, we're not going to give you a pill. If you come in here and tell us you're pregnant, we're going to call your mom and dad, like, right now. Don't you think that would have some effect on kids' behavior? You know, it seems like that would have some effect on their behavior, maybe, possibly. So the whole, it's like a technocratic mentality that the New York City Public Schools is adopting. And they're trying to solve a very human problem with a purely technological fix. And we already have the data to tell us that that's not going to work.
You have also recently written about a story that might seem like just a very small town story. That is a cancellation of a father-daughter dance. But in fact, the ACLU is involved in spearheading opposition to these kind of things. What's their reasoning for declaring illegal something like a father-daughter dance?
Yes, this took place in Cranston, Rhode Island, and I wrote about it at the National Review Online. I'm now blogging at the Homefront blog on National Review Online, so your regular listeners can look for my material there sometimes if they want to, in addition to the Ruth Institute Facebook page. But the ACLU regards a father-daughter dance or a mother-daughter baseball game or a mother-son baseball game that those are improper, illegal, illegitimate gender stereotyping. That's why they're opposed to it, that is gender stereotyping. It's not just that some kids might be excluded if they don't have a dad or something. The real problem in the ACLU's mind is that it's improper to assume that girls would want to go to a dance with their fathers and not go to a baseball game with their mothers or something, you know. And so what I want people to see, you know, it seems like one little thing in one little town, but actually it shows how deeply entrenched the ACLU is and their agenda and their ideology is into our society, that they're going to bother to go mess around with one little school district someplace and use that as leverage over other school districts, obviously, that they care about a father-daughter dance, that they care about that. That shows how petty they are and how, well, maybe petty is not the right word. It is a totalitarian impulse to go and attempt to regulate things that are that small. You see what I mean? And what they're really doing, Todd, is they're presuming that any difference between boys and girls, men and women, any difference is by assumption considered illegitimate. So any you know, if I actively prefer to go to a dance rather than to go to a baseball game, if I prefer that, the fact that it's my choice and not an adult's choice, or the fact that it's a child's choice or the adult's choice, the fact that it's somebody's choice, they don't care about that. It's all improper gender stereotyping. So the whole reality, the great natural reality of male and female, as God created us, male and female, in his image he created us, that whole reality is to be reduced and marginalized as impermissible gender stereotyping. It's not that some things are too much stereotyping. Some gender differences are too much stereotyping. All of it is too much gender stereotyping. The fact that girls talk more than boys is impermissible gender stereotyping. To mention that fact, even though it's been studied up the wazoo and every child development person will tell you that it's true, you know, anything like that is to be considered illegitimate. And that that premise that the ACLU has succeeded in pushing into the law, and the gender radicals, generally speaking, they have pushed that into the law, and they are showing us here, Todd, that they are willing to regulate every aspect of human existence in order to bring about this gender-neutral, brave new world that they think is the only proper fit place for human habitation. Well, I think, and you think, that that male and female were created by God for our good and to reflect his goodness and to reflect his love of us, and that we image God when we are being a couple as male and female, because it says in the Bible, in his image he created them, male and female he created them. That's all part of the image of God somehow. And the lifestyle left thinks that male and female is a cosmic injustice, and it's got to be wiped out. And this little dance shows you just the lengths that they will go to wipe out what they think is illegitimate.
Finally, I wanted to talk to you about something that I know is near and dear to your heart at your state of California, where you reside. There is a bill coming from now a very familiar name in California politics that would allow children to have the odd number of three parents. Now, what in the world is going on? Why would a kid need three parents in California?
Well, now that is a very good question. Why would a kid need three parents? How long do we have in this segment, Todd?
You've got 3 minutes. You've got 3 minutes.
I've got 3 minutes to explain this. Well, you know, the thing you need to know about this bill, it's called SB 1476, and it has passed both houses of the Assembly. So this is not like a small thing in California. This is not like some flaky thing. The California State Assembly has passed a bill allowing children to have three parents. It's sitting on Governor Brown's desk. If he does nothing by September 30th, it will be passed into law automatically. So he could veto it. I think it's unlikely that he'll veto it, but he could. He would have to in order to stop it from happening at this point. But the point of it is that there was a case that came up where a child seemed to have three legal parents under different parts of the law. And since California law says you can't have three parents, you can only have two parents, then, oh my goodness, we can't give this child to her father because he's the third parent, and we can't do that, even though he was the only person who was really and truly available. The child's biological father was not considered one of the two primary parents. They thought they had to go back and create a law that gives the child a right to have three parents. So the situation was a lesbian couple that got, actually, it's not even a lesbian couple, two women got married to each other during the little window of time when same-sex marriage was permitted in California. And October 2008, these two women got married. One of the women was already pregnant, and she was pregnant with a child that she conceived with a man. And these two women had a very stormy relationship, you know, a lot of domestic violence, a lot of in and out, instability in the relationship. And when the little girl was born in March, the two women lived together with the baby for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then the mother and the baby left, couldn't take it anymore, didn't like it anymore, got in touch with the dad, said, let's get together, you know, can you help, you know, can you help me with some payments or whatever.
About 1 minute here.
So it's a long, convoluted story, but the bottom line is that the lesbian partner sued for custody. And the woman became so, and the mother became so enraged that she got another boyfriend to go attack her. And so the mother, the bio mother, ends up in jail because of attempted manslaughter. The female partner ends up in the hospital because she's been stabbed. And the father doesn't count as a father because the presumed mother is the child's other parent. That is to say, the fact that the lady was married to another lady, the other lady meets the presumption of parentage that we've talked about on this program before. So she counted as this child's other parent rather than the child's biological father. So Mark Leno's solution is let the child have three parents. My solution is ban same-sex marriage, because it's same-sex marriage that caused this travesty in the first place.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You will find links to two recent columns written by Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, one titled Why California's Three-Parent Law Was Inevitable, and the other, Father-Daughter Dance Banned, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
Hey, you're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Tom Baker about the fall of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, doing a little Sunday school lesson. Well, there's an example of hard cases making bad law. And perhaps in the case of California, bad law making more bad law. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9023rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. TheCLCC.org.